So much music to talk about, and today we're going to focus on two albums that two probably pretty popping albums, I guess is one way to put it. At least I'm certain Brad is. I'm not certain how the hip hop community is taking the Heartstone Cycle, which is a segue into what we're going to talk about today. Is I guess Bird, I should ask you how you are. How are you, fam?
I am good. I'm glad we're finally getting around to recording here.
Yeah.
It's been a bit difficult, but that's the reality of life. But
Yeah,
we're
isn't that
here,
true?
we're here, we're present, and we're making it happen. So it's pretty
We
good.
are. Today is Sunday, July 21st. Hopefully, you're hearing this on the evening of Monday, July 22nd. And we are going to be talking about two albums that have been out for a while now, which I think is going to allow us to kind of have this conversation in maybe a different light than some of the albums we usually talk about, which is like 10 days after, sometimes even 2 days, 3 days. And of course, these albums are the insanely critically acclaimed Brat from Charli XCX, following up on her, I want to say her fourth record, Crash. I can't be certain if that's her fourth, could be her
Crash
fifth.
was the last album.
Yeah, the previous album was Crash. And then we will, of course, be talking about Don Toliver's latest record, Heartstone Cycle, which is the follow-up to his 2023 record that we talked about in quite some depth, Lovesick. So it'll be interesting to see how our position on Don Toliver are, but I assume that you wanted to start with kind of the heavier hitter, which is Brat.
Yeah, we can start there. That's where I kind of expected to start. So, as we usually go, I guess I might as well start with expectations for Brat. Which is that, I mean, they were quite high. Charli XCX has established herself at this point as one of the more reliable names in pop music. She's very good. She does very well. I've not like gotten the most deep into her catalog generally. Like I like some songs off Crash, but I didn't really listen to that album. From what I heard, that album kind of got mixed reception from
Yeah,
like
that's
the
not a good album.
fandom. But I still enjoyed Yuck and Beg For You and Constant Repeat, so it's got that. I still like songs off of Crash, which was her previous album. How I'm Feeling Now, I listened to that album of hers when it came out in full, and that one was really, really cool. Of like the early pandemic times when we were all kind of adjusting to just that circumstance. But yeah, so for Brat, just based off of that, quite high expectations, and I believe they were met. I really enjoyed this album. The singles for it were, I think, intentionally like the least substantive songs on the album.
What were the singles? I know one was 360 Von Dutch.
Oh, was 360 a single?
Yeah.
Oh, like maybe just before. 'Cause
360 dropped on May 10th. When does the album drop?
the album dropped June 7th, so
Okay. So
maybe I'm just
like
not tapped in. But okay, well, 360 I think is a pretty substantive song from the album, so that one was a single. I didn't hear that one as a single though, but Club Classics, B2B, and Von Dutch were the three singles that I had heard in advance. Von Dutch, I didn't really care for that much as a song just because it felt a lot like something I had already heard before. It just sounded very familiar in a way that made me feel like this isn't very creatively done. Club Classics, as the single, was kind of like, well, this is obviously a bit out of context. Same with B2B. Like, both of those songs felt as singles, like they would make more sense in a track list than in isolation. And I think that's the truth for both of them. But that's kind of my interest beyond Brat there. High expectations. I think they were met. We'll obviously get more into it. For you, Hugh, what were your expectations?
Honestly, my expectations were pretty low. I think like almost everyone, I was introduced to Charli XCX through Fancy. And then
Not Boom Clap?
no,
Not I Love It?
I don't believe maybe Vroom Vroom. I don't remember when Vroom Vroom comes out. But
Fancy.
Charli is like probably my 2019 when she drops Charli. That's such a one of my favorite pop albums in the last 5 years for sure. That's like my Hive, Charlie XCX. How I'm Feeling is also, I really like that album. There were some songs on there that I thought were super dope. But Crash was a real disappointment to me. And honestly, there's a couple. So I really like New Shapes off of Crash with Christine and the Queens and Caroline Polachuk. But it just kind of fell flat for me. There wasn't much that I was really moved by or gravitated towards. And the singles on this album, honestly, when I first heard them, I thought that they were frankly kind of annoying. Like Von Dutch and Club Classics were songs that I probably listened to once and didn't listen to them again. I like 360. That's like maybe more of a pop song than kind of like this hyper pop dance fusion that she has going on this record. Mm-hmm. But my expectations were, I say low because of the reception this record got. And like, I had a friend text me and showed me like a Pitchfork review. And I was like, oh my God, people think this highly of this record. And I was not, my expectations weren't around there at all. They were pretty low because of I disliked the singles and I kind of disliked the vibe that I was going to get from the record. And the rollout was just kind of weird. Like the media that she was kind of bringing forward, I was like, okay, is this album supposed to show that you're messy? Or is this like a complete shift in your sound? Like what's going on here? I didn't really know, which I guess is intriguing. And kind of alleviates any expectations now that I'm thinking about it. So maybe it is I just didn't have any expectations because I didn't know what I was going to get. But the taste in my mouth was kind of sour because of how much I was expecting from Crash falling from Charlie and how little I got. So that's where I stood before Brat. Now, we can get into what we got from Brat. I think you can... I'll let you take the lead there because I think you probably have more to say.
Okay, so we're just going right into it? What I think we get here is... Well, for one, I think my understanding of sort of how this has gone for her in the, like... Like, she's been in the hyperpop land for a bit, I think.
How long?
Crash, I think, was more of a departure towards like a more typical pop sound. Whereas like How I'm Feeling Now and Charlie are more, as you would put it, abrasive. And I think Brat does a really good job of towing the line between like more like an abrasive, like aggressively artistic sound versus something that's like more palatable. Like I think it finds the middle ground between that very well. Where you'll have like a Club Classics or kind of a Sympathy Is a Knife where it's more punching you in the face a bit with harsh electronic sounds and things of that nature. And then you'll have like a 360, which is more of just a typical pop song in how it sounds and feels to listen to it. Same with Apple.
That was my favorite.
Yeah, So I as well. As well with good introspection in the lyrics, which I always appreciate. I Think About It All the Time is a really interesting song to be the second to last track on the album, where she's talking about wanting to have a kid and thinking about stopping birth control because her music career feels so insignificant in the existential scheme of it all. Which I don't believe is a thought I've ever heard articulated in music quite the way she put it. I think my main sort of takeaway from this is just the balance that she finds between easier and more harsher sounds and just pretty good penmanship and lyricism throughout. Rewind's another good reflective song as well.
Good stuff. Because now, as I mentioned earlier, this album came out on June 7th and it is now July 21st.
Good grief.
It's been six weeks. And I know that there's, I mean, this album got the highest like rating on Pitchfork. It was rated higher than Billie Eilish's album, which is to this day kind of stunning to me. And there was that whole kind of movement. There's Brat Summer. People really embraced this. It kind of had its own ideas and its own movement, and it's kind of its own feel and sound and look. And that is always something cool. And that really kind of changed my perspective of this album, because when I first listened to this album, I found it very difficult to listen to. I will admit that the production was so insane in a good way, and kind of like a musically talent. Like, the production is so good that it was one of the few albums where I was driving and my mind wasn't like drifting off onto the traffic. I was like, okay, where is the production going to go now? And I was actually hooked for the entirety of the album. But with that being said, this kind of fusion of hyper pop and standard pop, and sometimes dance, or even like R&B-ish, just like the way her melodies are crafted, is wildly impressive. It is. But I also think that it's a fine line she's walking. And there are some songs, like you said, like club classics. And I mentioned how I was able to listen to this in so many different ways. I almost did like a John King voter focus group, where you like I brought my friends over and I was like, I need to talk about this. I want to listen to this with people who I don't think would ever listen to it. And then I listened to it with people who really liked it. And then I listened to it with Sophia, and she's kind of in the middle with Charli XCX. So I got all these different perspectives on it. And it was really fascinating. It made me appreciate the album so much more. Honestly, I mean, I do believe that this is a brilliant album, just artistically, musically. I honestly couldn't even tell you what the lyrics are, because I'm just so kind of mesmerized by the production now. And when I first was listening to this, I was like, oh my God, this is so annoying. Like Club Classics and Von Dutch. And I did think that there are some craters. I do think that think I think that I think about it all the time is probably a crater on this record. When I listen to it with a bunch of people, they're like, you need to turn this off. Like, we don't want to hear this. Which I thought was interesting. But these are people who don't like pop music, and they stayed and listened to the entire album, and they only told me to change the song once. And I have to credit the production and her kind of artistic vision, because the fusion of sounds, and I didn't really know that Charli XCX was like kind of fully embracing the hyperpop sound. I mean, I guess you call it hyperpop. To me, it's like dance and pop together.
I'm not quite sure
I don't think
what
this
the
is
best
full
word
hyperpop.
is.
This
No,
is
it's
like
definitely not. It's
this is
definitely
a
not,
fusion of a bunch of different things. And
yeah, I think a blend of like pop, hyperpop, and dance is appropriate.
yeah, and what I enjoy most about this record, and it's something I think we'll talk about in Don Toliver in a different light, though, is that there are different kinds of songs on this album, but they all seem to fit the same vibe, I guess, or just like the same sound. Like, I might say Something Stupid, which is like almost like a ballad. It practically is a ballad, and it's a ballad with like these harsh. I can't even remember if there's harsh sounds, but like there's like that like 150 BPM drum on it, and that goes into Tok Tok, which is like kind of like a dance pop song, and then straight into Von Dutch, which is just like a straight up hyper pop song. And then we get everything, like the variety of song that still fits the sound that you want is wildly impressive, and something that I really enjoyed as I listened to the album further. Now, I will say, I'm starting to kind of, I think that the importance of the first listen is something that I'm giving more and more credence to. Just because I think that the majority of people, just like how the majority of people aren't tuned into politics, I don't think the majority of people listen to albums multiple times, or even songs multiple times. Like, I literally said that I listened to Von Dutch and Club Classics once. I said that on, like, in the last 15 minutes. And I do think that because she's walking, she's kind of fusion, there's kind of a fusion of all these sounds, and there's such, she it's it can be quite abrasive and sometimes annoying. I think that this kind of ranks lowly as a first listen. Like, I remember the first time I listened to it, I was like, where am I ever gonna listen to these songs? Like, these are, I don't know what I would do, what to do with this album. Like, and then as I listened to it more and more, I started to get more and more into it. And now I'm sitting here and I'm like, yeah, this is a brilliant album. I can absolutely see why people think that this is the best album released so far. But it really took me a long time, and it took me listening with other people to kind of really grab onto things that I liked about the record. And maybe that's because I saw other people grabbing onto them, or just I saw what they were kind of hesitant to. And my evolution, this is probably the greatest shift I've ever had listening to an album from the first listen to where I am now. Whereas I was really, really did not like this album on the first listen. It was really hard for me to get through. There were songs like Girl So Confusing that I was just like, oh, this is just kind of annoying and just all over the place. And now I listen to this album top to bottom and I damn near enjoy every song. The only song I don't like is the one that you kind of highlighted, which is I think about it all the time. And I think that's because it is such an existential lyric that I'm just like, oh my God, like, what is this doing here? I have to listen to it again, but I kind of went on a little spiel there, but
yeah, you did, but that's fine.
Yeah. But
for me to cut you off a little bit,
no, do
I
you think
you were finishing up your sentence anyway.
Yeah.
For me though, I think that there's a lot of value in an album that it takes time for you to really get it. And it takes a few listens for everything to really click. Like, I remember texting you who knows how long ago,
it's 6 weeks
point.
Ago, apparently,
yeah, when the album had just come out. And you gave me the answer, like, I think I just mentioned it, just sort of, what do you think about Brat? And you gave me the very answer that I expected you to give me upon the first listen, which was like, oh, I didn't really like it that much. And then I think I replied with, like, just go back to it again. Or you said that you were listening to it with people, and they didn't like it very
much.
And
they
then
were
I
just
was like,
what is going on? Like, yeah, like you said, it is a little harsh.
And I was like,
and I do want
to listen
a second
to it again, like, by yourself. And then you did, and you were like, oh yeah, I forgot how good she was.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's value in making something that where it takes a few times for you to get it, but once it clicks, and once you're maybe more just like used to what you're getting into, that it becomes, that it earned, that it like earns the praise that it has earned. Like,
I agree. I hope that I didn't kind of express that as a negative. Like, me taking longer to enjoy the album has made me appreciate the album far more. Like, yeah. I do think that what the point you're making here is absolutely correct.
Yeah, I think maybe
it's a testament to the artistry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think maybe also just because I feel like, in talking to you, that like you have a bias towards something that's like broadly appealing, because you very much because you think about music so much in like, where can I play this? Like, that's always the first thing that comes to mind for you, it seems, is like,
yeah, it's
how
almost
can I play
I almost look
around
at it,
other
yeah,
people? Whereas for me, like, I'm very like solitary with my music consumption, and I'm not ever thinking about where and when I could play a particular song that I'm hearing.
So did you like Brat off the jump then?
Well, I think I was expecting to, which is kind of part of the issue maybe with me liking it. But it definitely made me curious, and I did want to keep listening to it. But it definitely like did grow more. Like, a song like Girl So Confusing took a few times for me to really like it, and now I think it's my favorite song on the album.
Dang.
The
I
Lord,
haven't checked
the
out the Lord
remix,
one yet.
The Lord remix, because I also want to shout out the remixes for this album. The Lord remix of Girl So Confusing is, I love it. It's so cool.
Dude,
it
I haven't listened to
it
that.
Makes Girl So Confusing as a song on its own make a lot more sense. And Lord's part is so good, because they're basically talking to each other through their verses on their feelings about like making music together.
That's what. Excuse
It's
me. That's so dope.
It's so good. And then the 360 remix too, Young Lean and Robin do their thing. So,
yeah. Wow, how have I not heard that?
Want to shout
With
them out?
Young Lean, that's probably super dope.
Yeah, that might be why she was talking about being in Stockholm on I Think About It All the Time. Maybe she was going to see Yung Lean.
Oh, he is a Swedish man.
He is a Swedish man.
But with that said, should we play Girl So Confusing with Lord?
I think we should. Well, first of all, what are your top three songs, Hugh?
So I won, Apple 2, Sympathy is a Knife 3.
There we go. Yeah,
What
So
about
I for
yourself?
me, So I hasn't hit as hard for me as it has definitely for other people. It
Oh,
seems as
you
though,
know other people who like it?
well, I haven't really talked about this album with other people, but just like being online.
I think it is the most standard pop song on the record.
Yeah.
The only reason I would say it over Apple is because Apple kind of has like a kind of like a dance 808 of the underneath, which is one of the reasons I love it, but it kind of moves it away from just like a standard pop song. And I think the
I think,
melody on
well,
So
I
I
think
is just.
people are liking So I a lot because of the emotional weight, because it is about a person who, like a producer that Charlie used to collaborate with who passed away, I believe.
Damn.
I believe that's what I learned from the Anthony Fantano review. Learned a lot of good
And what did Ant
context.
what did Needle Drop think?
Needle
What
Drop gave
did
it a 10.
Oh, Needle Drop gave this a 10?
Yes.
Damn. I would not give this a 10. As you know, I rank this below. I think that I mean, you know what, artistically this is close to a 10.
But
I
for
don't
me,
know if I would give it a 10. Like when I think of tens, dude, my mind instantly goes to T-Pab and like those like and like the Kanye West album, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
yeah, like kind of genre-defying albums.
Exactly. That's kind of the problem with me thinking that way. But you know what? I don't think that that's too hot of a take to say that this is a 10. I think that her performances on some songs are weaker than the production. So I don't know if I would give this a 10, but this is absolutely a 9. This is a brilliant album.
Yeah. For me, my top six, I put Girl So Confusing, especially big thanks to Lord for that. Apple as well was a top song for me. And then I think 360.
Yeah, 360 is that's one of the songs that's grown on me the most. That when I heard it, I was
360,
like,
when you're in the mirror, you're just looking at me.
no, and the whole kind of movement that's come out of this is dope to see. It's dope to see like a pop album kind of shift and have influence and an effect in like contemporary pop culture, because that don't really happen that much anymore, except for the big hitters. But with that, should we play a song?
Yeah, let's play the Girl So Confusing version with Lord, which is the full title of the song. All right, so just for the formal introduction's sake, this is the Girl So Confusing version with Lord, a remix of a song off of Charli XCX's latest album, Brat.
It's so confusing sometimes to be a girl, 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 girl. It's so confusing sometimes to be a girl. How do you feel being a girl? How do you feel being a girl? Girl, and I don't know, I'm just a girl. Girl, girl, girl. Yeah, I don't know if you like me. Sometimes I think you might hate me. Sometimes I think I might hate you. Maybe you just wanna be me. You always say let's go out, so we go eat at a restaurant. Sometimes it feels a bit awkward, cause we don't have much in common. People say we're, they say we've got the same hair. We talk about making music, but I don't know if it's honest. Can't tell if you wanna see me falling over and failing, and you can't tell what you're feeling. I think I know how you feel. It's so confusing sometimes to be a girl.
Yeah.
how you feel, cause I ride for you, child. Girl, child. It's so confusing sometimes to be a girl.
What? Radio.
Oh,
radio.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Radio. Yep. Happy, boing.
Hey, what's that song from that movie?
Every other Wednesday at 6 p.m., join me, Logan the Extra.
And me, Movie Maverick Mike, as we discuss popular songs featured in movies, or popular movies that feature songs.
On That Song from That Movie, we talk about how the song fits into the movie, why they chose the song they did,
and we'll share our expert opinions on the art of music and movies.
So if you find yourself asking, I wonder what that song from that movie is, check us out every other Wednesday at 6 to 6:30 p.m.
Or you can listen to all our episodes on CITR.ca. Who knows, maybe we talked about that song or movie that you love.
We are That Song from That Movie every second Wednesday at 6 p.m. or anytime at CITR.ca.
And we back, and we back, and we back from the song break. You just heard The Girl, So Confusing version with Lord by Charlie XCX.
Yeah. And now we quality are... stuff. Now we'll transition. Have you given Hearthstone Psycho a listen, Bird?
I have. Or yeah. I'd be a so pretty this is, bad co-host.
This is, I believe this is Don Toliver's fourth studio album, and could be his fifth. I think it's his fourth studio album.
One, two, three, four.
Because it's Heaven or Hell, Life of a Don, Lovesick, Hearthstone Psycho.
That's how I counted this.
And I believe we were pretty scathing about Lovesick.
Yeah, but, we weren't positive there.
But
you
as
made a like a pretty much, maybe not a 180, but you made like a 150 on it, though.
On some of it. But this album, I hear more people I know and just kind of hear more buzz than I ever did about Lovesick. Like, I don't think that our takes on Lovesick were that far off from the general consensus. Because the only song I heard people playing a lot off Lovesick was Private Landing. And that one had Justin Bieber and Future. And I think both you and I were like, this could have been legendary. I ended up coming around more to that. But I mean, saying that, my expectations for Don Toliver albums are like if I had to put it in a numerical scale, I would say I expect between a 6 to 6.5 from Don Toliver. Like, I know that it's going to be good. I know that there's going to be some good songs, but I'm not certain if he's going to break through that kind of cloud cover and have like a couple great songs. And I think that on Hearthstone Psycho, at least for me, he finally did that. This is by far my favorite Don Toliver album. I actually have really not liked the last two. I really enjoyed Heaven or Hell when it came out during the pandemic, and I was really absorbed in that album. And then Life of a Don, I just didn't like, and Love Sickness, we talked about in depth. And so So, and we, I mean, we talked about Don Toliver so much, how he had a fantastic verse on that SZA record, and then a week later he drops his album and he's not even anywhere near close to that level. And we've talked about how, oh, Don Toliver makes good songs but not great songs. This is the first album where I think my like three favorite Don Toliver songs are all now from this record. This is the album from Don Toliver that I was really waiting for, like providing me with three, four songs that I actively listen to all the time, which is the truth on this record. And I'm not going to say that the floor is higher than his other albums, because I think that there are some weaker songs. I mean, like, I thought that the song with Yeet, which is kind of added on later, was terrible, frankly.
Yeah, that song's really bad.
Yeah. I think the Kodak one is low-key really annoying.
Yeah, one of my notes is just, my notes for this album is just, Kodak Black sucks.
Yeah, like, people seem to really like Tore Up, at least on TikTok, or like in the rap community.
I'm one of those people.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. I thought that was on the weaker side. But there are some like poor, there's some like the floor is still the floor, but I think the roof is higher. And I think his production, the instrumentation has kind of expanded. Obviously in Bandit, he is using the sample of Tame Impala, which is, I believe it's the first single. And I don't even know if there were other singles, frankly.
I feel like Deep in the Water was.
Oh yes, Deep in the Water was. But songs like Tore Up, there's like a heavy metal guitar. Mm-hmm. On Glock, I really like the airy voices in the background. Tizo Touchdown's background or backup vocals on Backstreets are awesome, honestly. Like there's hard stone. Like I don't know if it's the melodies or just where I am in life. I can't be that. It must be the melodies. Because like, from this record, frankly, I love Kryptonite. I love Glock. I love Purple Rain. And I really like Hearthstone National Anthem. And those are like my favorite songs Don Toliver's produced. And we talked about, or I mentioned how there is differing styles of songs on the Lord record, but they all still fit the same sound. Don Toliver kind of doesn't have that. On this record, like sonically, it kind of goes all over the place. Travis Scott's on here twice, I believe. Mm-hmm. And there's Tore Up, and then there's a song like Glock, and then there's a song like New Drop, which actually has like a pretty dope like dance beat for a while. But like I think that this is my favorite Don Toliver album, because I think that these is the strongest he's been melodically on his own.
Okay. For me, first of all, like expectations wise, they were not high. I get for reasons that we've established.
Yeah.
I think, in summary, I think the guy's got a great voice, an incredibly unique voice. But when he is the lead creative mind for a project, I don't think he really puts it together as well as I wish he could. And so expectations weren't high. But I did like this album, not as much as you do. It is an improvement over Lovesick for sure. I think the biggest compliment that I can give this album, I remember with Lovesick, one of the like main issues that I kind of had with it is I felt like a lot of the songs were meandering and not really going anywhere. But meandering is maybe a weird way to describe how I felt.
No, but I know what you're saying.
There's a part on like Private Landing where they're like coming out of Justin Bieber's verse and Don Toliver's trying to start up again, where it's kind of just like the instrumentals still playing and they're just kind of.
Is that where he's like, "Don't stop"?
No, don't that's stop. Biebs. That's Biebs as he's going in, but it's
oh, like okay.
Transition out of Bieber into Toliver. There, he's like doing something weird with his voice, like it just kind of goes like, and then before he actually gets singing again, just like weird meandery gaps that don't make a lot of sense. This album, I don't think really has any songs that are like meandery, like they all feel like they're like actually moving and progressing in a direction. which is a definitely good thing. So I like it for that.
Yeah, you're right. It is cleaner. It is like a cleaner, more compact.
Yeah, cleaner, more compact, and the floor is like similar in terms of it.
Yeah, the bottom tracks.
I think the bottom, your assessment of like the floor and ceiling is also correct for me. Like it gets a bit higher. The ceiling gets a bit higher. I think Tore Up's a really cool song. I really like the guitar part in that, and I wish that there was a bit more of that sort of heavy metal sound throughout this album, just because I feel like the album art and the aesthetic of it makes me feel like there should be more stuff like that, and I don't think we get that aside from Tore Up. So I enjoy Tore Up
and Bandit, I guess.
Yeah, Bandit, you get a bit of it too. Bandit to me sounds like a lot of noise though, and I also just think about TikTok trends when I hear Bandit. But that's not Don Toliver's fault though. Well, maybe it is a little bit. He probably wanted that to happen, but anyway.
But I'm gonna second your point where it's less meandering. I think that this is the strongest he's been melodically in his career, front to back. There's less weak songs than I expect on a normal Don Toliver album. Like, my biggest problem I had with Lovesick was that, like, I just, none of the, and you know that I'm a, like, melody is kind of the make or break for me. Something that pulls me and something that's stuck in my head. And there just wasn't. I mean, we talked about in depth how Don Toliver makes good, not great. And I think that he's starting to move into pretty good, almost great. Like I believe that there is some actual artistic progression here. And I don't think Don Toliver artistically is weak at all. I think that he was able to brilliantly move away and create his own lane from Travis Scott. Like, I don't really consider Don Toliver a Travis Scott clone. And I think if you asked me in 2018, I would have said, oh, it's going to be really hard for him not to be one.
Yeah.
And I have to give him credit on this. And I really, sorry, I honestly, I forgot where I was going with it, but I just think that he has, his artistry is at the best it's been at. And top to bottom, it's evident. There's less kind of songs that you hear and you're just like, this is fine. There's more songs where you're like, oh, that's cool. Or there's more segments of songs that are cooler. The production has increased. The variety of production has increased. As you mentioned, as we both mentioned, the heavy metal guitar, the sampling. And I've enjoyed the album much more because of that. And my expectations for Don Toliver have absolutely increased, because I feel like this is the first time that a body of work of his is at, there are songs as strong as some of his features, which is a problem I've had with all of his other previous albums. Whereas that up until now, my favorite Don Toliver song was Still Can't Say. Mm-hmm. And that was a problem for me because, like, I really wanted to get into Don Toliver. He's kind of the
first thing you did, and you've not improved since then.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you've managed to kind of survive the bottom falling out of hip hop, and you're still someone who carries weight, and you have this dope voice, and you've made some crazy good songs with people. And like, there'll be random like SoundCloud songs of Don Toliver that I'll hear, and I'll be like, what? Like, this is so good. Like, this, I kept hearing this one. I think it was called Tequila, and I'm sure you've heard it. And I was like, damn, like, why doesn't Don Toliver put this on his album? This is the first time he's finally kind of punched through that barrier that I had for him. And as like a project in general, this is a fun listen. I think that almost all of the features are really good. I honestly, outside of Kodak Black, and I'm not going to do the, like, there is a disc 5, but I'm mostly focused on like
the deluxe. That's exactly. Not the core album.
From the core album, I only think that, I mean, Cash Cobain kind of doesn't really do anything, but like, Cash Cobain, I usually think his stuff is pretty unique. Besides Kodak Black, the features are all good. They all add something. Both Travis Scott songs are kind of airy and not what I thought they were going to do on an album called Heartstone Cycle. And I have to appreciate that gamble that I think paid off. But I just think that this is, I mean, I keep saying it, but he's finally progressed to the point where that his features have kind of been at, as like his own individual record.
Yeah. Definitely a progression on this album for sure. I don't really care for Ice Age, Travis Scott on Ice Age as much as I do Inside, I think's better. But
I agree.
Still.
And Travis Scott is low-key, like, he's, I like Tizo's feature more. I like Future's feature more. I think Charlie Wilson really adds a lot to Attitude.
Definitely.
But yeah.
I do have a couple questions.
Yeah.
That I want to ask. Question number one. 5 to 10 when he's going, what's the lyric?
I don't like that song. I don't like that song. Right. That's just at the bottom for me.
Just when he's going, where did that? Oh, I'm looking at the wrong lyrics. Sorry. But there's a part in the chorus when he's saying, like, ride you like MF and Harley, where the melody just, or the flow or whatever, sounds exactly like Cardigan to me.
Yeah, it does. It does.
When you want my bag like a Cardigan.
And I love the Afghanistan. That was my favorite Don Toliver song for a while. Like, that was my favorite song off of Heaven or Hell. I can't say I liked it more than Can't Say. But like, now my favorite Don Toliver song is Glock. Like, I really enjoy listening to Glock. That's my favorite song off this record.
Anyway, so I wanted to mention that I just thought they sounded that's a good point. Similar.
No, they do.
Thing number two, Tizo Touchdown, is he the new, like, Ty Dolla Sign? Where he's just feature boy. He's everywhere.
And not feature boy, but just like background vocals guy.
Yeah.
I mean, the last time.
Yeah, it's like good.
The last Tizo Touchdown verse I heard was so terrible. It was on All Is Yellow. And I was
like, my goodness.
It was so terrible.
Yeah.
And I haven't gotten around to his record. How Do You Sleep? How Do You Sleep at Night? And
I haven't listened to it.
It came out in September, and it got some buzz. I remember a few people that I genuinely respect their musical opinion. They were like, "Oh, this is great."
Yeah, I remember Aubrey Graham reposted it.
Oh, of course he did. But besides and that's someone
whose musical opinion I know you respect, so
definitely
evidence.
Modern Jam is probably like the best Tizo Touchdown song I can think of, but I think he's kind of floating in there because he adds an element that is so unique. Mm-hmm. Like, he's also at the back of one of the songs on For All the Dogs, and he's just like going like, like making dog noises. And I was like, and it doesn't even sound that weird. And I was like, okay, this is like, this kind of works. Like, his sound is his own sound. I think he kind of was found by Tyler, the Creator. Like, the first time I ever heard of him was on a Tyler, the Creator song.
Mm-hmm. Same for me.
And I
tracks. Makes sense.
Tizo Touchdown rarely has a bad feature for me. I don't listen to his music on his own. So he is kind of in the Ty Dolla Sign, the Ty Dolla Sign space. His feature on Hummingbird was terrible. But, yeah, I'm going to say that Tizo Touchdown is probably been sucked into the space of his biggest things will be his features.
Yeah, your feature boy, your background vocal boy, embellishment.
Because I really like him on Backstreets. I think that's one of the best parts of the songs is when he comes in, he's like, baby, ah, baby, ah.
Mm-hmm. Looking at his top five on Spotify right now, which of course is not your actual top five most popular songs, but it's...
No, it's what's been playing most recently.
But yeah, it adjusts to popularity. They're all features. Backstreets, Modern Jam, Mask, which is
Doja Cat. Yeah.
Amen, and then Run It Up. Amen being the Drake song.
Yeah.
And Run It Up with Tyler, the Creator, of course.
And like, I wouldn't tell you that Tizo Touchdown is terrible, but I think that he can be really good. And like, overall, I don't think he's terrible, but at times he can be terrible.
I think he's a really creative dude. Yeah. I met her last week.
Sliding through the cold back streets.
Can you get up? I'ma take you around, girl.
bag in my Maybach truck. Can you get up? Maybe your bashy boy, girl, let's get insane. You're one on one unique. Locked up in a Maybach seat. And I'm riding with my beats. In the book of RIP. Don't hold back, baby, I leash. You splashing, it ain't no lease. Took us out to the bar. We ain't going, we been. But you haven't seen. You know who to come to when you feel it all caving. When you know you need saving. I know where you put your feet in. Just need someone. Chain code just like Vinted. Gucci just like Timber. Red man makes my control. Let us keep your info. Maxi try to see what it's here for. Wrap tight, hold on like a shot. I like my living simple.
Backstreet's my problem.
See the car coming by the light, anybody next turn. Run it back, let me do it for you. Ain't no pressure. I met her last week.
Last week,
sliding through the cold back streets. I don't know who you knowing me.
Knowing me.
I saw you put away your foreign key.
Foreign key.
Can I get your number? And I'ma hit you up. Can't link all summer and go and f*** it up. Girl, you got me drunk, I need it in a rush. Can you f*** it up? Can you f*** it up? Can you f*** it up? Girl, can you f*** it up? Take you out of town, girl, can you f*** it up? I'ma take you now, girl, I'ma f*** it up. Hit you from the back in my Maybach truck. Can you f*** it up? Girl, can you f*** it up? Take you out of town, girl, can you f*** it up?
Oh,
I'ma take you around, girl, I'ma f*** it up.
Baby, I'ma
get you from the back, you won't pay back, child. Can you f*** it
The AMS Sexual Assault Support Centre, the SASC, is a free and confidential service which provides support to those who experience sexual assault, intimate partner violence, and harassment. We provide services to folks of all genders, including students, staff, faculty, and those who have a connection to the UBC Vancouver campus. We provide crisis and short-term emotional support, legal, medical, and campus-related advocacy, and outreach and educational programs. We are located in the Student Nest, room 3130. For more information on our hours of operation and other resources and services, please go to our website, amssasc.ca, or visit our Facebook page, AMS Sexual Assault Support Centre.
The Evelyn Saller Center is recruiting volunteers to help design and implement relief initiatives for the downtown Eastside community. If you're looking to get experience relevant to your area of study while helping to support the homeless population of Vancouver, email us at esc.volunteerprogram@vancouver.ca or find our page on the City of Vancouver website under Evelyn Saller Center. Positions are flexible and designed to be convenient to students. Those with an interest in health, communications, or psychology are encouraged to apply.
And we back, and we back, and we back from
Backstreets
featuring Tizo Touchdown off of Hardstone Psycho by Don Toliver.
Yeah. Hey.
You told me you had something you wanted to mention to me.
Last few minutes
of the show.
It's been a while since we have. It's been like a month. Life just gets in the way, but we'll be more consistent. In that time, the Not Like Us video has dropped, and Kendrick Lamar's monthly streamers has surpassed Drizzy Drake's, which I think is a big deal. Drake is at 73 million. Kendrick is at 75.
Mm-hmm.
My question for you is, is Kendrick going to capitalize on this and drop an album?
I first want to lead this with, I haven't actually seen the Not Like Us music video yet.
Neither have I, honestly.
I've seen some stills.
I don't really watch music videos, dude.
No, neither do I. I don't really. YouTube's not where I consume music anymore.
Sam. Kendrick, and then never. Go on.
Kendrick better drop an album soon.
He has to.
You don't start the beef, win the beef, have a concert where you dance on the guy's grave, so to speak, and bring out all your friends and the entirety of the Los Angeles gang scene just to go back into hiding again. Or not hiding, but, you know, hibernation.
Is he going to pull a Kawhi Leonard, bro?
Hey, man.
Because he is the Kawhi Leonard of rap. He's around and then he's gone when you need him.
Hey, but not when Canada needed him. Kawhi stood around for that. Yeah. Maybe when Canada needed Kendrick, he also came out. So
yeah. Do you expect him to...
Some connections there.
Is there room? I mean, honestly, dude, I listen to such little rap these days now. Mm-hmm. That obviously I would listen. He has to capitalize on this because This is the hottest he'll ever be. Wow. Just because I don't think that the Drake haters are gonna stick around for that much longer. And
yeah, it's the hottest he's been in a while for sure.
And I don't know if he's ever had this many monthly streamers. And he has to capitalize on the Drake haters. Because those people will just stream and stream and stream and stream. And he's at the pinnacle right now. And
I think the pinnacle might have been when he won the Pulitzer, but
no, this is
I'm just
this is bigger because those awards are new. Like, what do we think when I think of the like awards like that, man? It's never meritocracy, but maybe the Pulitzer is. But I wonder. No, there's no way he doesn't drop, right?
No, I don't think there's a way he doesn't.
But what would be a date that would be too late? Would September be too late?
No.
No, you don't think so?
I don't think so.
Would October be too late?
I think before 2025. I think as long as it's before.
Damn.
I think maybe like November. I think
after Halloween. Halloween is your deadline?
Remembrance Day.
Oh, so that's mid-November.
Or Veterans Day. Is it Veterans Day in the United States, November 11th? Or is Veterans Day another day and it's Memorial Day or something?
Memorial Day is Victory Europe in Japan, so Veterans Day would be November 11th.
Okay. Maybe like Remembrance Day then, I'll set as the sort of reasonable deadline. Because like, I mean, Kendrick could have an entire album made already. We don't know.
I don't know.
Likes to take his time with things, as we know. So,
I think that he has to drop.
I'll give him
before October.
I'll give him some runway. Yeah, I'm also just willing to wait. Which is
no, I know. But like in this context of kind of being in this place where people who probably aren't
huge new audience.
Yes, he has. He's gained a huge new audience, and. So, and just the way our society works, I don't think that they'll be as tuned in. And I already know people who are tired. Like, I know that there is kind of a dialogue. We saw that there's that Steph Curry video where he's like, "We're not like us" comes on. And he's like, "I've heard this too much already." And LeBron's like, "I love it." but like, I do know that there is a dialogue out there. Like, the song is now overplayed. Like, now we need something more, Kendrick.
So, and well, if you want to keep the Drake haters and you make an album when you're still riding that high, then he's got to do it before the end of the summer.
That's a good point. As soon as the NFL season starts, then.
But I think if he's just trying, but I think if this is, I think if he, but if his like main concern is more about just re-energizing his pre-existing fan base,
then it's done.
Then I think he's good till like Remembrance Day.
You're good. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Because I'll still be eating off of Euphoria by then.
Yeah. You know,
what
Drake.
What is it, the braids?
You know, Drake had more respect for rap than I thought he was going to have. Because I remember we talked and I was like, oh, well, I just assumed Drake is going to just drop a pop song and do it that way. And he never did. And he stayed true to rapping. And I honestly didn't think he was going
to
do that.
No, yeah. He did try to, like, meet Kendrick on his turf.
He did. I thought that he knew that there was no way that he could win that fight. And even if we were like, wow, Like, Drake had some bars. Like, people just don't like Drake in that sense enough to say that Drake won. But if he dropped, like, a big pop song, and he didn't. And I got to respect it. I got to respect that. He wanted to be the rapper.
And he still got out-rapped.
Yeah. He was never going to out-rap Kendrick. That's like Eminem. I think only Eminem could probably do that.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait for a few years till the Eminem Kendrick beef starts.
Ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, no, ain't gonna happen. Eminem shows love to Kendrick on the death of Slim Shady, actually.
Yeah, and Eminem's like real hatred is for like corporate music industry, I think.
Yeah.
Like he and like the Grammys, and like I'm sure you've seen the video where he's like,
well, you're gonna have to edit this now. He's got a whole, I think he's got some lines about that on, like, what is it, Without Me or something? No, not on like that. No, I'm thinking of like old Eminem, like on like Without Me or something. He's got, so you can sit me here next to Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera, I'm gonna switch me chairs. Blah, blah, blah. He's got songs about, you know, lyrics about celebrities in the industry and the machine and all that. But yeah, with that, we probably ought to wrap up here. We have, and we will continue to be. I am still Alex Bird. At minimum. But yeah.